This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today we celebrate the Assumption of the Most Holy Sophia. And, incidentally, my 4th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. Today is one of the major holidays in our tradition. Roman Catholicism is the Assumption of the Holy Mary, Mother of the Lord. In Eastern Orthodoxy, it's the Dormition of the Theotokos, which is the falling asleep, much like dormitory, dormition, or to be dormant. Both of these point to a long tradition in the Orthodox tradition of Christianity, Eastern and Western, a long tradition of holding a particular symbol of the feminine as divine. Jung saw the declaration of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary as being an indicator that there was a shift. The culture, the collective psyche, was shifting back again towards perhaps a balance, perhaps a better understanding of the divine. It did not simply have one form that was open to all the expressions of the divine. So on this day, we celebrate many things. Celebrate what is hopefully that shifting. And since that time in the 1950s, you've seen much more of a shift. You've seen, perhaps, the counterbalance come into existence. Counterbalance is unfortunately not a balance in and of itself. It is simply weighed in the other direction. But it is a hopeful sign. I do not want to exchange one simple God image for another. I do not want to trade in some anthropomorphic male God image for an anthropomorphic female God image. It does us perhaps a little bit of good in the short term, but in the long term, it still leaves us with a very limited image, an image which only some of God, some of the divine, can be experienced through, in which much must simply be ignored or discarded. In recent years, we've seen a shift arise, the interest in Mary Magdalene, fostered by the Da Vinci Code and other speculations of a marriage. This appeals to us because it seems like a symbol of the Heros Gomos, the sacred marriage. The union of opposites which leads to a transcendence, which leads beyond a balance. But our modern expressions and attempts at this are very haphazard, very unbalanced. We still feel as though we have to topple the one to have the other. And this is unfortunate, but perhaps merely a stage of youthful rebellion on the part of our culture. On a deeper level, today we celebrate the divinity of wisdom, the presence of wisdom, that wisdom came from the presence of the Most High God, from some ultimate mystery, and is present here with us. In the Gnostic myth, the mythic cycle most common in classical Gnosticism, Sophia looked for the light. She sought the light. She saw it reflected in the darkness, in the void, in the abyss. And seeking that, she fell into the abyss. And there she set about doing things. She wanted to give birth. She wanted to create new life. And she did so without, as one scripture says, without consulting the Spirit, without participation of God, of a divinity beyond herself. And so what she gave birth to was limited, was flawed, mostly limited in its awareness, thought itself the only God, the only one. And through the process of this God creating the world, Sophia became the mother of all, the mother of the light. She saw the human creatures, flawed, unconscious things. As one text says, with souls but without spirits. And she gave them spirits. She woke them up. She planted the seeds of light. These things are myths. They are symbols. We take them as literally as our fundamentalist brothers and sisters take their stories, and we really just the same as they are, we just have more interesting stories. But we look at these things more deeply. We can tease out something of the mystery that lies behind them. But we are in this world, and strangely in this world, we possess a consciousness that is beyond everything else in this world. Other beings have consciousness. It is not of the sort that we have. It is rather limited. Ours is extraordinary. It does not seem to really belong here. And throughout human history, throughout all ages and all places, humans have felt that there was something wrong, that this was either the last stage of the cycle, a place of falling, fallenness, a place where things aren't quite the way they should be. We look out at the truly unimaginable vastness of the universe. We do not see anything looking back at us. It is truly amazing. It is beyond comprehension. The light of consciousness that is within us, such a rare thing, such a precious thing. But it is not precious in and of itself. It cannot simply exist and be a wonder of the universe. It must do things. It must seek. Jung had an account, an experience he had in the Kalahari Plains, imagining first human to become conscious, first human to become aware. And that this, he imagined, was the fulfillment of the entire previous existence of the universe, for this was the universe becoming aware of itself for the first time. It is an amazing thing, something we as fish swimming in this water do not see. We do not see that water. It is so amazing. And with that comes a burden of consciousness. Too often, the world, most everyone one knows, seeks to alleviate themselves of this burden in one way or another. To find some comfort, to seek some false cosmos, some way of staving off the uncertainty, some way to keep themselves from realizing their position in the cosmos, their nature, its nature. The nature of that consciousness looking out. This is our modern human dilemma. We are conscious beings, and we have created a world that to a large extent exists to prevent that consciousness. But there have always been many. There will always be many seeking to extend that consciousness, seeking to learn and to know. One of the major symbols of that is wisdom. To seek wisdom is to seek something more than information, to seek something more than experience. It is something to do with an expansion, the change, transformation of consciousness and of ourselves. We grow in wisdom. We change. We become more conscious. And we become better utilizers of that consciousness. Use it more skillfully. We become more excellent. Arete in Greek. We achieve and become more. That is our duty. We have a duty to excel, to achieve, to live out this light within us, to be more. And to do that, we must seek wisdom. Wisdom is divine. It is other, transcends this world while it pervades this world. And wisdom is within us. Often we forget that. We forget to listen to the wisdom that is speaking within us. As Sophia Vesper Service says, she is closer to us than we are to ourselves. She is there. Who we think we are and who we are often split apart, distant by some amount. But wisdom is there closer, closer to us than we are to ourselves. The love of wisdom has long been a pursuit. Call it philosophia. The love of wisdom. It's not amorous love. It is philos. The love of family, the love of friends, brotherly love, supporting love. And to carry forward our task in the world, we must have this kind regard. We must have wisdom in our hearts as well as in our minds. We must love her. Though we cannot love her as she loves us, we must yearn for her. Though we can never yearn for her as much as she yearns for us, we must seek her, even though she has already found us. It is not an easy path, but no real work is ever easy. No real task, real accomplishment comes simply or easily. The love of wisdom is a lifetime, or more than a lifetime. It is a commitment in many ways that must be stronger even than our commitment to ourselves. We must be willing to give up, certainly, our ideas of ourselves, notions of ourselves, who we think we are, who we want ourselves to be, who we understand ourselves to be, in order to seek what is true, in order to seek wisdom. To celebrate my 4th anniversary, and attest that the path is certainly not an easy one. And if we merely look with the eyes of the world, it seems hardly worth it. So much easier ways to get along in life. And yet, it is real. And when you look about the world, when you truly look into things, when you truly look into the eyes of people, as the liturgy today puts it, seeing the lost God looking out of every human eye, and you know that what is real is more precious than rubies. What is real is what is important. We must have that before we can do anything. It's better than having any position, place, power, or reward in the game we have made of the world. Be truly engaged with our souls, with our spirits, with the work of God, with the work of the divine in the world, is the most precious thing. And this is available to all of us if we seek it. For wisdom is there waiting for us to call out, to cry out, just as the gospel tells us of the story when she, having lost her light and her power, called out, and was given light and power, was broken forth from the chains and fetters. So we can be broken forth. We can be freed. We can receive that which we have lost, our light and our power, and grow it within ourselves. Seed of light can sprout and grow and flower. And the flower of Gnosis is wisdom. May we carry forth a strong desire and love and appreciation for our Mother, Mother of Light, for the light that we bear in the dark cosmos, for the wisdom that has been granted us. May the blessing of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us and remain with us all.
For more information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG.